This is Chelsea Lou Hu. I'm here to talk about my experience and why I titled this The Egotistical Side of Self-Loathing. And I know that's one heck of a title, but bear with me, because I experienced it, and I shall explain why and how it's egotistical in a way. My experience with self-hatred is more emotional than it is from trauma or social expectations that I failed at. Mine come from dislikement of my mental disabilities. I struggled to write, couldn't do math past sixth grade, couldn't really absorb information from history all that well. Social studies I did okay at, but barely. And science, surprisingly, I did pretty good at, but decided to abandon it because I was a child, a freaking teenager, or what have you, and decided to let myself fail. And you know how close I was passing science was only by freaking, it was either by 5 or 10 points. So if I would have, so I have regret about that too, so. So my self-hatred was more like inside. So I never really lashed out against any relatives or friends. So thank the Lord for that. I mostly kept it to myself. So as negative as that seems, it's one positive, because normally when people get self-destructive, they start destroying connections and stuff like that. And I never did that. I just mostly kept it to myself and never really talked about it much. Self-loathing, by definition, is just a negative perception or image of oneself, to the point it's just like no matter what you do or no matter who's around you, you're never going to be up to par where you should be. And this is where the egotism comes in. When someone has self-destructive behavior such as self-hate, if something is not utterly perfect in the way they perform things, or things don't go 100% their way, it easily becomes a huge negative that will tear down any positive that came from that experience. So if I did well in something, but if I did like one thing that I was kind of lacking, anything positive I done before then is immediately overshadowed in a way. So I was literally striving for the impossible. I wanted to be perfect, but obviously no one can be perfect. I wanted to be like my cousins who were intelligent and doing well with their lives, but since I was struggling with my mental disabilities, I just could never really par with the same intellect or same scores as most people. So anything I did well that was considering someone who was struggling with learning disabilities, I would just immediately downplay it. It's like, well, it's not good enough because it's not, because the scores, whenever I was looking at numbers and always comparing myself because I wanted to excel. I wanted to be the best of the best, basically, because since I would somewhat fail in either category, I would immediately just tear myself down with anything, not caring what I did achieve. So, stuff like that. And so this is where I'll do some Bible verses. Again, this is my first time teaching, not teaching, telling my experience with soul clothing with biblical scripture. So it might not be perfect, it might not be professional, might stutter or repeat myself a lot, so I apologize in advance. So I'm going to start with Matthew 11:28. Come to me, all you are weary and burdened. I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble at heart. You'll find rest for your souls, and my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And for someone who constantly struggled with concentration and had a very negative self-image of oneself, I never really connected before when I was a child, despite how many times I went to church with my my relatives. Like once a year for like 4 weeks, I would go up to a relative's house and we would go to church every Sunday, which I enjoyed. And on the other hand, it was like I was just going through the motions. I never really connected, you know, with the words of God or what was being said to me, because maybe I could blame it on my disabilities, but I won't. It was just like the lack of like genuine like knowledge, because they gave me a Bible and I didn't finish it. So I was like the pinnacle example of building faith out of straw and then being surprised that it blew away, basically. So I never told them about this, so it's not their fault. But what, like, since I was only going through the motions of faith, I'm just like, you know, just following but not really learning. There was like one memory that stuck in my mind that kind of just blew away my straw of faith was, I was watching a theater play of in church, and it was just a story about these family members who were arguing in the car, and the young teenage daughter, who was I think very close to my age at the time, you know, she was just looking at her phone and arguing with her mom and dad or something. And then they crash, and when they go to head, like, to the, I guess, the gates or whatever, the, not whatever, sorry, but to the gates to get judged, the daughter who had the cell phone end up getting, you know, sent to damnation. And that upset me a lot, but I didn't say anything. I should have told them, asked them why that happened. Because to me, like, I usually saw that girl as me. Because I've done that to my own mom, where I'll just be looking at my phone, my mom will be calling for my attention, and I'll just kind of backhandedly dismiss her. Because, you know, that was one time when the smartphones were coming out, and the internet, it can be very addicting. So it's like, although it's not, within the moment, we don't mean to disrespect our parents when we do that, but it is in the end. So after that after that play, I was so disturbed by it that I just immediately just disconnected with the teachings, like, you know, because anything I, you know, since I was a young teenager and I was just going through the motions, anything that like upset me or whatever, I would just immediately just disconnect and cease. And I wish I didn't do that, but I could have talked to him about it, but I didn't. So that's mostly my fault. I did that to myself. So I don't want anyone to feel bad or feel like they're guilty, especially when I never said anything or didn't even try to reach out to explain to them. So yeah. And since, because in the end, all you have to do to feel that connection with Jesus, Lord Christ, is genuinely believe that he died for your sins and to give up your burdens and your worries. And I, since I never really done that, it just felt like my negative self-image of myself just kept getting worse each year. And I just kept holding on to the chains of my own negative, chains of negativity, despite how much damage it was doing to me, just out of ego, in a way, because I was like, you just deal with your own problems, you don't involve others, you don't want to involve them, you'll just bother them, you know, whatever, and something, not whatever, but, I'm repeating myself. You don't need them. You just need to deal with it on your own. You know, just be quiet and then deal with it type of issue. So I was holding on to myself an impossible standard, because without Jesus Christ, I was obviously had a sick eye. You know, I had clouded eyes, and since I had no clouded eyes, no light was coming into me, and that darkness just kept getting bigger and more darker each year, and I just felt myself slowly just getting consumed by it, in a way. Just because I just didn't want to eat the yoke and just give up what was, my own self-hate in the end. Because I just, you know, I had a certain ego, like I just wanted to keep holding on to it for every reason. And now it's like I'm glad I finally let go. And I'm like, well, I just keep asking myself, like, why I just didn't reach out sooner? Why did I just stop being stubborn? But, you know, that's what children do sometimes. And our very young teenagers, they just think they know everything. And so they have a refusal to acknowledge their problems and don't want to let go of what's bothering them. And we got Hebrews 4:2, for we have had the good news proclaimed to us that as they did, but the message was no value to them because they had no share of faith of those who obeyed. And as harsh as that sound, that's true. In the end, when I was a child, I had no real value to me because I didn't genuinely reach out for Jesus and connect with him. I was just going through the emotions of it. Not emotions, but the cycle, I guess. I don't know how you explain it. Like it's more like a disconnect that I had, but in the end, it was just like I didn't. If it had value to me, I would have cherished it, but I didn't. So, and then we got Hebrews 4:3. Now we have believed and enter rest, just as God said. So I've declared an oath in my anger, I shall never enter. They shall never enter my rest. And so that was happening to me and many others. Picture metaphorically Jesus' tent in the desert, and within the tent there is water and food and maybe some like a cloth to cool down from the heat of the desert. And I passed that tent so many times wondering why I collapsed from exhaustion and hunger and thirst minutes later, but yet I refused to go back. Many times I just kept, you know, wanting to walk further and further away, wondering, you know, and then wondering why my flesh was starting to burn from the sun and was starting to, and why I constantly was in pain from hunger and my mouth dry from the lack of water. And it was just like I just felt like, you know, it was honestly, I was just feeding my own suffering at that point. It was just like I was just pouring gasoline over the fire and then wondering why the flames were getting bigger. It's just like a, it was just a, now that I think about it, it's almost like a irony type of thing, where you're just like, you're suffering, but yet you provide the fuel for your own pity, in a way. So, that's what I was doing. I was passing Jesus' tent, and then when I was getting growing weaker and more hopeless, I just still kept going, because, you know, you don't ask for help. You could just go and just deal with it on your own. Just keep going, type of thing. Thinking I could be my own blind leader, in a way. So when I did finally collapse in the desert, I realized my mistake. Realized I had very serious issues developing. I started having very dark thoughts about myself. My thoughts went about worthlessness to that I would just be better off if I just disappeared in general. But I never went through with those very dark thoughts, because my family experienced a relative who died early, because the burden of life was too heavy. And because I experienced and saw the suffering that it caused, I of course didn't want to make my family experience that a second time. So I just I just kept a hold on and just kept living in constant cycle of self-loathing, criticism, lack of motivation, a slight sense of laziness, and it would just feed right back into my self-loathing. So it was a very vicious cycle that I kept feeding myself over and over again, until it got to the point where I was like, okay, I'm done suffering. I reached the pinnacle of, like, I just want some help. I'm done. I don't want to feel like this anymore. And that's when I finally genuinely started to read the Bible, and now I no longer feel like that. Jesus Christ's presence had touched me in a way where it totally wiped that wicked, twisted image of myself that was constantly tearing me down from the inside. And now I no longer feel the need to constantly criticize myself to the point where I can no longer I didn't appreciate what I had achieved, and didn't reach out and keep a close connection to those around me. So I'm correcting that now. I realized the burden of my way. I realized the very, not burden, but the failures that I made on my to myself. And realized God wasn't a problem. I was. So I'm lucky that I came that to that realization. I end up crawling back to metaphorically crawling back to Jesus's tent and asking for food and water. And so I can always just pray, and I've been praying, which has been helping me a lot. So yeah. Alright, this is probably long enough, so have a blessed day.